My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Tough series loss for the Phils over the past few days as they drop 2 of 3 to the Braves in Atlanta, including a 3-2 loss last night, where it was sort of another night where the offense just, there was no optimism that they were going to come back and win that game. It truly felt like through innings like 3 through 8 that there was just nothing that they could get going. And there have been way too many dry spells like that over the course of the past 2 months. And it's part of the reason why I don't think a lot of people are as confident in this baseball team as they once were. And look, I think the simple reality is that you're more hopeful at this point that they're going to kind of collect themselves and get back to the way they were in the first couple months than you are confident in them going on a deep postseason run at this point. And I mean, the offensive struggles, the lack of approach and situational hitting, you know, aside from Tuesday night, which I thought was really good, which I'll touch on at some point, I just think the offensive approach hasn't really been there. Like, there's a lot of first pitch swinging, a lot of, you know, two strikes swinging out of your shoes, and it just feels like this team has very little approach to the plate right now, and I think it's showing in terms of the numbers offensively. The top of the order, man, it's been a real struggle. Schwarber's kind of going through it right now and not having, you know, a great week or so. Harper still struggling after it seemed like he bounced out of it after that, what was it, 1-for-30 stretch or whatever it was on the West Coast road trip. Trey Turner, like, I don't know if there is a more variant player, somebody who just can give you such a high ceiling and such a low floor than Trey Turner, because it feels like when Trey is going and when Trey is, like, really hot and producing at the plate, he can carry an offense. Like, he can carry a team. And but when it's the other way around, and what he's doing right now is he's swinging at everything, you know, low and away, like he kind of did when he was struggling throughout the first half of the season plus last year. And it just feels like he's very easy to pitch to right now. And then once he gets behind in the count, he's going to be, you know, very swing happy. And that's kind of what's going on right now. And when the top three of that order is not hitting, you know, it's very difficult to set the tone for the rest of the lineup, and that's what we've seen, especially 2 of the last 3 nights, where it's just like a big struggle to get any of those guys on base. And for Schwarber especially, considering how many walks he takes, that's pretty rare. But I'll tell you what, the rest of the lineup has kind of followed suit, and I'm going to touch on everybody, including, you know, the bottom of the order as well, and they haven't, you know, been much better. And also, like, Rob Thompson. What's kind of gone on over the past week in terms of sitting players? I know it's been a big topic at WIP, at the radio station, because you know what? I see it from both ends. I understand where they're at right now and that they are very likely there after the loss last night, after, you know, dropping 2 out of 3 to the Braves in Atlanta. The Phillies still have a 6-game lead in the division, and I think that they are probably going to hold on to the division, but again, we'll see. It's not a definite at this point, that's for sure, especially you have another series with the Braves coming up as well, so that'll be an important one. But I don't think you can use the division excuse anymore as to sitting players, because, I mean, you are in the 2 seed now. You are no longer the 1 seed. You're no longer the best team in baseball, any of that. You're the 2 seed in the National League, and You know what? The Brewers are not far behind. You know, the Dodgers are in front of the Phillies by a game and a half right now. But the Brewers are only behind the Phillies by a game. And they just dropped 2-3 to the Cardinals, which is good. And the Phillies kind of needed that. But right now, you're in a race for the bye for the postseason. And I think we, as fans in this city, sort of have gotten to the point where we are underrating the importance of the bye in baseball. Because I understand the Phillies have gotten in as a wild card the past 2 years and, you know, have dispatched the Braves, who earned that bye and won the division. But at the same time, like, a three-game series is so fluky. Anything can happen in a three-game series, truly. I know that the Phillies have made easy work of it in the last couple of years. They swept the Cardinals in 22, and they swept the Marlins in 23. But that bye is ultra important. And because you lose game one, you know, you're one fluky game away from getting sent home with, you know, 95-plus wins on the season. So they're in an interesting spot right now. And to me, that is what it should be of the utmost importance, and that is getting the bye. But so Rob Thompson has kind of, you know, had the mindset of just getting to the postseason healthy, which, you know, I totally understand. You have to have the bigger goal in mind, and that is not to be, you know, super hot in August and winning all these games in August, but to be healthy and to be playing your best baseball September into October. Bryce sits on Sunday. Obviously, you know, the whole pinch hit thing, ninth inning, Cal Stevenson first is up to the plate with a man on first. Down two, and then with a chance to tie the game, you don't bring in Bryce Harper. You have JT Realmuto on the bench as well. I understand the JT thing probably a little more just because he had knee surgery and he's a catcher, and you might want to get him off his feet for two straight days, just considering they had an off day the next day. But I didn't really understand the Bryce thing at all, I got to tell you. And obviously, we know that Cal Stevenson grounds on a double play. Garrett Stubbs, next hitter, grounds out, game over. But I'm wondering if something's maybe wrong with Harper. This is just pure speculation. I know somebody had talked about something with his wrist over the weekend when he slid into second base, and, you know, he kind of agitated his wrist a little bit. And I will say, he hasn't looked right the last few days. Like, his front shoulder's flying open a little bit. He just doesn't look fundamentally sound up there like Bryce typically does, because, you know, Bryce is such a, obviously, as an aggressive swinger, it's, you know, powerful. But at the same time, it just feels like he's very you know, fundamentally sound when everything is kind of going together, very mechanically sound when he's going right. And you know what? It's not just him right now. The rest of this lineup is struggling as well. And Bohm has been pretty good. His on-base streak just got snapped. I think it was at 35 games. So he's been pretty solid. But then, like Bryce on Sunday, he sits last night. What was, you know, maybe not the most important game you'll play all season, but it felt like a pretty important game. It's a series where you can kind of put the Braves in your rearview mirror. You win that game last night. You have an 8-game lead in the division. And then Bohm sits for the final game. And obviously we saw Weston Wilson struggle at third base a little bit, which, you know, I was fine with them putting him there just because I wanted him to, you know, be in the game after he's been hitting the ball really well over the past couple of weeks since he's been up. But it's just a couple decisions where you're like, does this team really prioritize, you know, getting the one seed or getting the bye, or is it just winning the division, getting in, being healthy, and then kind of going on your run there? I just think it's a dangerous, dangerous game to play. And at this point, with the way they're playing, like I kind of stated at the top, I'm more hopeful that they're going to piece it together at the end of September and into October than I am, I think, confident at this point. Like, we all saw the Texas Rangers, what they did last year. They had a horrific August. I think they lost like 11 of 12 or something ridiculous, like went on a crazy losing streak. We're not playing great baseball in September, blew the division to the Astros in the final week of the season, you know, and they get in as a wild card, and then they go on a run and they win the World Series. Like, that could happen for the Phillies, but I just think you're playing a very dangerous game by kind of, you know, limping yourself into September, and then we'll see what happens as you go into October. But so, yeah, Bohm sits last night. Harper sits on Sunday. But, yeah, Bohm been pretty good. Had his streak snapped at 35 the other night, which is, I guess, why they decided to give him the off night last night. But my biggest, you know, worry, I think, right now is with some of these guys at the bottom of the order, because I believe that Trey, Bryce, Schwarber, they're all going to get it together kind of when it matters most, like they did last year, even though game 6 and 7, that switch kind of flipped. But the bottom of the order has just been really, to say it, bad for a little while now, and specifically Marcin Stott. I don't think Brandon, and I know we love him in the city, and I love him. He's a great dude. I'm happy he's on the Phillies, and I'm glad that he fits into the clubhouse so well. But I don't know if a AAA stint would be a bad thing for Brandon Marsh right now, just because he feels entirely lost at the plate. And it's not just against left-handed pitching either anymore. He's got a strikeout percentage since the All-Star break of around 40%, which is just about, you know, ridiculous. And it just seems like he's, you know, pressing on everything. It feels like he's almost just trying not to strike out at this point, which is, you know, for a major league player, a very lonely, bad feeling, considering, you know, that's not your job. Your job is to get on base. Your job is to put the ball in play, you know, and get the first. But at the same time, I just feel like he's pressing at the plate because of this kind of it's well known at this point what the strikeout rate is, and it's just been bad for the entire season pretty much. And if you could maybe get him to AAA just to work on some things, because working on things at the major league level when your team is in a pennant race is a really difficult ask, just considering the pressure and everything that's on you when you're visibly struggling like that and when you're striking out at the rate that you are. So I don't know if a stint at AAA would be such a bad thing for Brandon Marsh. And also, I think because Johan Rojas has been playing actually pretty solid for Johan Rojas standards as of late as well. Obviously, he's been playing a great center field when he's been in there. But I think at the plate, he's been much more competent, much less aggressive, I will say, as well, on balls out of the zone. And he's making contact and he's getting on base. And he had a huge hit in the win on Wednesday against the Braves there, where he hit the double to the wall. He's hit some balls pretty hard. So pretty good stuff from Johan Rojas, honestly. Wouldn't mind, again, if Marsh goes down, you have Rojas in your lineup for like 10 days while he's down there, or however long you want to keep him there. Also, you have Austin Hayes coming back. He should be back tonight, which is a good thing. So that'll be certainly a help. And Weston Wilson, I know he didn't play great at third base last night, but he's actually been pretty solid for this team since he has been called up. And I think that he is somebody that, you know, can definitely face left-handed pitching pretty consistently. I know he's actually done pretty well against right-handers too since he's been up, but I've loved what I've seen from Weston Wilson on the offensive side of things. So I wouldn't be shocked if he plays a little more. And again, I don't know if they're going to do the Marsh thing where they send him down, but I just don't think it would hurt at this point. I don't think it would be a bad thing for him to go down there just to work on some things, get his mechanics right, get his contact back up, and try to come up here and contribute. Because right now, he's hurting the team. Like, that's what's going on. And I understand he had a big sack fly the other night. I was frankly shocked that he put that ball in play. But again, it's just something where you want to get him right. You want to get him back to the way he was kind of last year towards the beginning. And I just think that Brandon Marsh, that player is in there somewhere where he can make contact at a much higher rate. So have to get Brandon Marsh right if you can, for sure. And
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Want to get to the pitching here, because I do feel if there's anything I'm kind of hanging my hat on as to where I think the Phillies can lean on something to go on a run here and play much better baseball, I think it's the starting pitching, because you've got Ranger coming back Saturday, which is great. You hope you can get anything similar to what you saw out of Ranger Suarez in the first 2 months of the season, where he's pitching at a sub-2 ERA, which probably isn't sustainable. But then again, if you can get anything close to that, that would be phenomenal, and we'll see how he looks. He'll go on Saturday night. And Wheeler has put in some really good starts together since the blow-up outing against the Yankees. He's looking much more Zach Wheeler-esque. The fastball looks good. Breaking stuff is there as well. And he's going to be right there for the Cy Young at the end of the year, considering the Pirates have kind of fallen out of the race, and Paul Skenes, they might be shutting him down soon, even though he had a nice outing yesterday. I think he went 6 scoreless, I believe. And it'll be those two and Chris Sale fighting for the Cy Young down the stretch here. And Chris Sale, as we know, has done a really good job for the Braves this year. But I like what I'm seeing from Zach Wheeler. He's pretty much had 2 blow-up outings this season, and it was against the Yankees and it was against the Orioles. And aside from that, he has been incredibly consistent. I know they lost the game when he pitched the other night, but that was not his fault, certainly. So Zach Wheeler, definitely been a bright spot for the Phils. Nola, again, we've reached the point, I think, in the summer where this sort of happens every year, but you're just wondering kind of what you have with Nola in terms of, you know, can you trust him to be your game 2 starter in a postseason? And he's just been okay. That's how I'll state it. He's still making mistakes by not keeping the ball down. Like, when he's not locating and the ball staying up, that's when he gives up those home runs. And I just think that it's all a matter of just making sure that he has the command of his fastball, the command of the knuckle curve, and everything is down in the zone. Because when it's not, then that's when guys start teeing off, and like, that's when he gave up the homer the other night to Arcia, and they end up winning the game, which is great. But at the same time, he's keeping you in games, but you'd like him to, you know, do a little more. And that's what he's done the last few postseasons. And I expect him to be the game 2 starter ultimately. But you just worry a little bit with the long ball, and in terms of him just, you know, having that command and being able to locate pitches within the zone. So he's probably your game 2 starter. But Christopher Sanchez's home road splits have kind of been ridiculous this year. So at home, he is 7-3 with a 2.18 ERA, 76 strikeouts, and 13 appearances. So really, really impressive numbers. But on the road, Sanchez 2-6, ERA 5.43, 40 strikeouts, and 12 appearances, which is, you know, that's where the Nola game 2 thing, I almost slip up a little bit, because, you know, I almost want Chris Sanchez to pitch at home if you got home field advantage in your first series there. And I ultimately think Nola will be the game 2 starter, but I feel like it's very tough to ignore the home road splits for Sanchez when it comes to, you know, his outings this year. And look, he was decent last night. I thought he did give up some hits, but I think his defense was sort of to blame for that. Again, Weston Wilson did not have a great night at third. Probably could have been 2 errors charged to him, but they were both hits. So Sanchez, you know, whip goes up due to that. But again, the home road split thing is just a weird thing. And I don't know. Maybe it's just something where he feels more comfortable at CBP. I don't know. But it is definitely something to monitor as the season goes along and, you know, as they get to the postseason. So those are, you know, your 4 main starters. And then Taiwan, what can you say at this point? I mean, it's just not great. And all I could say is that he can't be on the team next year. You got to find a way to make sure that he is not on the team next year, because I just can't watch any more Taiwan Walker. Simply, it's an exhausting experience every night, because you try to convince yourself that like 4 2/3 with 3 runs and 8 hits and 3 walks isn't bad, and that he's keeping you in a game. But it's every time, like, he's throwing 99 pitches and he's getting through 4 innings. Like, it is just a brutal experience. He can't locate. He gets behind in the count and then has to throw guys cookies. And I just think he's cooked, man. Like, he doesn't have the velocity anymore. He doesn't have the dip on that splitter, which, you know, was probably the big reason why they signed him, was because of that pitch. And it's just been a real struggle for him. And I just don't know if we'll ever see that version of Taiwan Walker that they signed to be here, which is a guy who throws a nasty split with 95, 96 mile an hour in the chamber as well. So that is where I'm at on Walker. And I just don't think next year he can be on this team, because you're going to have Painter coming up, and ideally your rotation of Wheeler, Noah, Sanchez, Ranger, Painter would be something that a lot of fans would look forward to having. So I anticipate that's what it's going to be, and that they'll find a way to get off Walker here, which, you know, won't be easy considering you owe him, you know, half that contract still. But he simply can't be on the team anymore. You just can't do it. And Turnbull, I don't really know what's going on with him. He's got that lat injury, and I wouldn't expect him to be back really anytime soon. They kind of said late August when it happened originally and when they were mapping it out for him, but I haven't heard pretty much anything on the Spencer Turnbull front, so I'm not expecting him to be back anytime soon. So, you know, you got to pitch Taiwan Walker every fifth day. I know they just brought up the Tyler Gilbert kid, the guy who threw the no-hitter in his first outing in Arizona a couple years ago, but don't expect him to contribute much. But they're going to be relying on Taiwan Walker, and we'll see how he does tonight in KC against, you know, what is actually a pretty solid lineup there. But they also might be skipping a spot in the rotation potentially on Sunday. They're not sure if they're going to throw Wheeler or not, or they're going to do a spot start maybe for Tyler Gilbert and do a bullpen game just to get guys some rest. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I think, but we'll see how they go about that, because you kind of do have to win a lot of these games right now because of that bye and where you're sitting at just in terms of being only a game up on the bye. So that is where I'm at with the rotation. Bullpen, again, don't feel as confident in them as I did earlier in the year. That is for sure. Jose Alvarado, really bad, man. And I don't know if he's just like simply cooked because of the last 2 years and how much they've worked him, but he is just not the Jose Alvarado of old. Can't command anything. Obviously has the inning where he gives up the four walks the other night, and it's just an absolute disaster. And, you know, the bullpen ERA since the All-Star break heading into this series, you had Kerkering, who did just have a really good outing in Atlanta, I will say. Probably, you could argue, his best outing of the year. Really quick 1-2-3. But Kerkering with a 6.55 since the All-Star break heading into this series. Alvarado with a 5.91 heading into the Braves series. Hoffman 5.11, which you expect to go down. He had a nice outing the other night as well. I liked how Rob Thompson used him early, which I thought was a good thing, kind of in the way that they utilized him last year. And Matt Strom, who had also been nails in the first part of the year, a 4.76 ERA since the break heading into that series. So you just got to get guys right. And I expect Hoffman and Strom to turn it around here, just because I think that they're, you know, what they've produced for you in the past will kind of indicate to you that they're going to turn this around. They definitely, you know, Matt Strom isn't the 27 straight scoreless innings guy that we saw earlier this year, but he's also not this guy. He's likely somewhere in the middle of that. So I expect him, and I expect Hoffman to kind of get back together here and be fine. Estevez, man, he is just, he's going to be a sweat every time he comes into this game, because it's a lot of hard contact. I feel like it's very little swing and miss, and the fastball seems kind of flat. Even though he has velocity. So I feel like it's easier for guys to, you know, make contact with it. So we'll see what happens with Estevez. But it is really just going to be another Phillies bullpen acquisition deadline that makes you sweat every time he comes in the game, whether it was, you know, Brandon Workman, Ian Kennedy, you know, any David Robertson, any of those guys that they got at the deadline. It just always feels like they make you sweat it out, and that is what we might have with Carlos Estevez. So he got the save the other night, but man, I got to tell you, when Whit Merrifield was at the plate with a chance to win the game, I was just, I was not going to let that happen. Thank God it didn't, but yeah, it's going to be tough with Estevez. And I will say, Jose Ruiz, probably been their most consistent guy, or definitely been their most consistent guy since the All-Star break. I don't think he's given up a run yet. In like 10-plus appearances since the break. And so Jose Ruiz, been really good, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm ready to give him those high leverage spots yet to where I can trust him in a big situation. So we'll see what they do with Jose Ruiz and if they give him some high leverage. I probably wouldn't, but he has been good since the All-Star break, I will say. So Gonna get into a quick Royals preview here before we get out. So tonight, the Phils take on the Royals. I believe it is an 8-10 start. And it will be Taijuan Walker going up against Michael Wacha, who's been a part of a pretty decent Royal staff in terms of, you know, he's had 127 innings pitched this year, 3.33 ERA. So not bad stuff for Michael Wacha, who will go against Taijuan Walker. So we will see how the Taijuan Walker experience goes. Tomorrow, got the Ranger return, which I'm greatly looking forward to, versus Team USA World Baseball Classic legend Brady Singer, who's also having himself a pretty good year, a 3.18 ERA in 141 innings pitch. And on Sunday, the Phillies kind of up in the air with their plans right now, just because Matt Gelb tweeted this the other night, and that the Phillies could possibly skip a spot in the rotation on Sunday because they want to get certain players rest in terms of, you know, just getting the starters an extra day, which he believes, you know, could be pretty beneficial for everyone right now. But if he doesn't, it would be Zach Wheeler going up against Seth Lugo, who Seth Lugo has been one of the biggest surprises in baseball this year. He's got a 3.02 ERA and 166 innings pitched, and has been, you know, one of the better pitchers in the American League. So not going to be easy against this Royals team. They've got a good lineup. If it was any other year and Aaron Judge wasn't doing the things that Aaron Judge is doing, Bobby Witt would be the runaway MVP in baseball. You've got a guy batting 350 who's going to get like 40-plus steals, who's going to hit 30 homers. Like, the guy is just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm just like a huge Bobby Witt fan, so I'm honestly excited for the fan base to get to watch him. I'm not excited for him to probably go off against the Phillies, which seems likely, frankly, but Bobby Witt is an awesome player to watch, and a lot of people who are going to get exposed to him for the first time this weekend are going to see, you know, what a special player he is. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and we will be back next week with a brand new edition. But for now, for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Borgenstein. Have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.